We're so excited that you're here, and I know some of you have flown in. I'm going to give everybody a chance to introduce yourself, and so just a quick introduction, your name, your business, and why you're here. What is it you want to learn? What's the main thing? Howard's taking notes in the back, and we want to make this 2 days here as personal to you as possible. So whatever business questions that you have, if they come to mind, write them down, ask them. We're going to be giving you plenty of chances to participate, ask questions, because the more we can make this event about you, the better it is. All right, does that make sense? We are also filming this.
You're all stars.
Yes, you're all stars. Now, we're going to be using this as a product in the future so that people can not only come to an event like this, but they can participate it online, or we can ship it out to them in a hard case. And Andre is the our extraordinary producer. Andre's also heading up the Zig Ziglar documentary. I don't know if you've heard about that, but we're creating a documentary on the life of Zig Ziglar. So he is an Emmy Award-winning documentarian. Did I say that right? Yes. So we're privileged to have here. So if anybody here is in the Witness Protection Program, if you would just talk to Andre and let him know, we'll make sure that we don't get any shots of you in there. But we're excited for that. In the back, we have Philip Hatfield. I know many of you probably spoke to Philip on the phone. So Philip specializes in helping build our inner circle, our small business owner community. And this program is part of that larger program. This is kind of an introduction where we go deep for 2 days into the business systems. Of course, Howard is in the back. We'll be introducing him in a minute. Our whole team, stand up, Howard. Howard Partridge, he's I call him my leader mate. We've done trips all over the world, including Australia, and over there everybody calls each other mate, so we started calling each other mate. And Howard is I'll use your word, he's phenomenal. Any of his marketing, you'll hear the word phenomenal, and he'll talk more about that. But we've had the privilege of traveling all over the world together doing events just like this to thousands of business owners. So we're excited that you're here. You'll learn more about Howard in a minute. But let's do this. Let's start with you, and we'll just start over here since we've seen you before. Tell us what you do, and everybody will have a chance. Your business, why you're here, what's the number one reason that you want to get up?
Alexis Aranda. My husband and I have a service plumbing business in Las Vegas. We are here today to kind of get some strategies to make our business run more efficiently when we're not in the office. When we're there, everyone is doing what they're supposed to be doing, and then as soon as we leave, it's like, what is going on here? So kind of get some systems in place to make sure there's more checks and balances when we're out of the office.
She pretty much said it. You know, we're plumbing business in Las Vegas, Nevada. We primarily focus in the service end of it. You know, house to house. We're not really much in the commercial sector of it. But she said, you know, we're just trying to get everything to where we can step away from the business to maybe get into other things we want to be in as well. So I think that's why we're here.
Andrew, how many employees do you have?
I think we have like about 15.
All right, perfect.
John.
All right, I'm John Mayer. I don't own a business. I work for a nonprofit called Semper Fi Fund that supports wounded warriors and their families. In June, we started an apprenticeship program that teaches severely disabled wounded warriors trades: saddle making, bit and spur making, gunsmithing, bladesmithing. The type of trades that they can do as a home business. And so I'm here on behalf of all of our apprentices that are existing now, it's about 15, and those that will be, to see if this is a good marriage between our program and learning the business side of being a tradesman. So that's wonderful.
Jose.
I'm Jose Garcia. My wife and I
own
the founders of Operation Give Back, which is sort of what the Colonel does. We do events, and we support wounded soldiers, armed forces members. And next week, let me backtrack. Yesterday, 23. Today, 23. And tomorrow, 23 Armed Forces members will make the choice to commit suicide because they can no longer deal with PTSD. So through something called Ragnar Relay, it's a 200-mile endurance event. We have then, just for 36 hours, think of something different. At the same time, we fundraising to buy Christmas gift for those armed forces members who are dying in combat, or came home and killed himself, or developed an illness and died. So all that we do have to deal with pay it forward for those who gave the loan. So I'm here today, I wanted to meet the colonel, and I wanted to get to know more of the people. Plus also we are connecting with a team from Dallas so that we can make Christmas gift for military orphans this year in Dallas.
And just to give you some background, one of my dreams is to have a small business owner coaching program that we work with small business owners on an ongoing basis. And it's online, it's interactive, they come to events and they go through the systems that you're going to learn about today. But I have this vision of connecting these small business owners who are already successful, they know how to build a business, with these veterans who come back and they've got, you know, this limited view of what they can accomplish. I look at them as people who've done more than I could ever imagine, yet they come back and they wonder how they fit back in. And so what they need is a connection, a mentor, somebody who can show them, hey, you know what, you've got what it takes, here are the steps. You know, operating a business is like anything else. When you know the system and the steps and you put a plan in place to go do it, great things happen. So I met John through a mutual friend, and I said, you need to meet Jose, and Jose was going to be in Texas anyway, so they flew in together, and so we're having some side meetings on that. So I just wanted to know that. So Rhonda, tell us about your
We live and love and thrive in Washington, D.C. I am in the healthcare space. My background, I'm a nurse, and we are in telemedicine. So the company that I created about 3.5 years ago, telemedicine is all about managing patients' healthcare from home, particularly or specifically patients who have implanted pacemakers, defibrillators, anything cardiology related. So much like your concern, I feel like, you know, my employees that work remotely, clinicians, do fine, but my in-house sort of admin folks, I'm like, how do we run this more efficiently so we can get lots of work done? Because we're on the cusp of bringing on thousands and thousands of patients and getting that process down so that we can keep everyone safe and well cared for is my top priority, and creating those processes to implement as well as grow with the expansion.
Right. So I just wanted to say, if y'all wanted to sit together, there's two seats.
I don't know. We don't normally miss that.
I painted it intentionally so that we would talk to other people.
Well,
okay.
A good idea.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. So how many people on your team?
We have 17.
Okay.
But everybody works remotely. So I have sales reps in different cities, and we also have clinicians all over. Like, you can do it anywhere in the world because it's
right.
Healthcare remote. And I don't worry so much about that side of the house. I worry about the administrative side that has to show up to work at 8 o'clock.
Gotcha. So Rob, why don't you jump in since we'll go back to back?
Well, I mean, I'm support staff, right? I'm not one of those 17. I have a full-time job as well. But Rhonda is the chief cook and bottle washer. She started with the idea that she can do everything. You know, she can go out and diagnose. She can check the patient's pacemaker. She can interact with the cardiologist. And she can do the billing. She knows everything. So my goal is to learn how to implement some systems for scalability. It's all about scalability at this point because, like she said, we could literally double the size of the company next week, you know, with the amount of patients that are coming.
Right.
And we need to be prepared to move as rapidly as the business is going to grow. We know it's going to grow at a very high pace, and we have to be prepared for that. And I'm kind of an operations guy in my current role, so I've been saying we need to do this, but you know, I don't have the hands-on experience of taking a process and refining it and defining it so we can just hand it to the next person that comes into the door and keep the train moving.
Right. And in your business,
speed of service and cost are two huge advantages that you have over, I mean, it's where healthcare is going, right?
Exactly.
Okay. So, Anthony.
Anthony Wilkerson. I have a company called Attic Armor Pros. We do radiant barrier technology and replacement windows. And my goal really is to try to learn a little bit more about how to make my business grow on from a smaller scale to a larger scale. We've got plenty of business, just not enough workforce to take care of that. Recruiting, training, maintaining, in-house and out-house.
Right. So what kind of workforce are you looking for? Installers or?
It's not that I'm, I am looking, but it seems to be that trouble maintaining and then training them.
Okay.
To getting them to where they need to be able to do like what I'm able to do.
Right.
So I'm trying to teach people to do what I do very successfully, but they not seem to get that into their head so that they can do it.
So you're needing an onboarding and training system.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. Perfect. Rob.
Rob, I own a cosmetic laser and weight loss facility, and we do injectables on Botox and fillers. We've got a lot of body contouring lasers and skin tightening lasers, and then we also have medical weight loss and a few other weight loss programs to fit people's needs to get them healthy as fast as possible. My goal is similar to Anthony's, trying to duplicate myself and the other good employees. We range from 3 employees to 11, depending on how many I run off that month. I like to not feel like they're a warrior.
All right, so turnover is one of the challenges that you have?
Huge.
Okay. Mary.
I'm going to stand up because I don't think anybody else can see me if I don't. I'm Mary Smith, and I own a staffing company that also works in leadership development training, and I like to speak. So what my goal is for here is to get a client. It would be nice because I have nothing so far. I retired from teaching in June after 28 years, and so now I'm doing something completely different. And honestly, I'm choking a little bit. But I'm learning. I'm teaching myself as I go. So
right.
The reason I'm here is to gain all this valuable knowledge because I listened to Ziegler like an amazing amount of time. Mm-hmm. I've even gone back to all the old archive ones that Ziegler did by himself. And I'm done. I mean, I've listened to all of them. So I needed to be here so that I can gain some more information on how to get some clients.
Fantastic.
That's my goal.
And you're coming through our Ziegler Legacy certification?
I am, because I love training. Training and speaking are my passion.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Just so you know, Jose is a graduate, so you see the badge on Jose's name tag. So he's come through, and Jose is
awesome.
Certified Ziegler Legacy trainer. So y'all might want to talk during the break.
Yes. That'd be awesome.
LaDonna.
My name is LaDonna West, and I'm from Johnson City, Tennessee. And I have an art studio called Momax Studio. It's an art teaching studio. And although we've been in business actually for about, this will be our 8th year, it was prior to the last year and a half, it's been mostly part-time. And I knew that when we had moved to the area, we're not originally from there, but I knew that when we moved to the area that I wanted to connect with the art community. And it just came, I started out teaching 4 kids after-school program. And then it just ballooned into 6, and then it was 8, and I'd open up another day, and then pretty soon I was just teaching, you know, after school by day. So what happened is, in our community, I mean, I don't know if you guys are aware, but art in general is in the schools, they have taken it out. I know in our community, it's not a big thing. And so what we've discovered is that art, we have a sect of parents who value art and who see that there's a need for their child to, we like to use it, to utilize it to help children connect across content areas. So we have found that there's a group out there who is willing to pay for art classes for that specific purpose. So as of late, I would say within the last year and a half, we've been really kind of being aggressive more with our programs. We've been involved in a lot of community-based programs. I tell people when they come to the studio, there's a lot going on behind the scenes. So my objective is from just to get out of that environment, come here where I can get some ideas as to how I just need a method, you know, a system to where we can kind of get this going. We see the potential there. We just don't have the parameter, the, you know, the structure, I guess, to continue on.
So. Gotcha. Perfect. Tracy.
Hi, my name is Tracy Schwagman, and I'm local. I live 15 minutes down the road. My husband and I own three children's retail stores, and I don't have a business background. I was also a teacher before my kids came along, and I'm a mom of triplets. When my babies were about a year and a half, my husband had gotten laid off from his job, his company closed down, and I walked into the resale store to buy some clothes, and they had help wanted, and I thought, wow, this would be great, because I have three small babies, and my husband's out of work, and we have no income, so I started working there, and then 4 years later, we bought the place, and then we decided to open up a second location very shortly after that in Frisco, which is also not too far from here. And we were doing really well. And then in February, we took over a struggling kid-to-kid location in Louisville. And I'm still in this, what the heck was I thinking? you know, we were doing awesome with one. We were doing pretty good with two. And with three, I was just... so overwhelmed, and we are just stretched so thin, and we're really, my husband and I are really trying to make it work, but we're working, you know, 15-hour days, six, seven days a week, and I'm not seeing my triplets these days, and staffing has been, you know, keeping employees and finding reliable employees has been a challenge for us, and so we're just spending way too much time having to do the, what my $8 an hour employees should be doing, but we don't have enough of them, and we're not able to do with our business what we want to be doing because we're just spread way too thin. Right. Okay. So that's why I'm here.
Well, I'm glad you're here because you're in the right place.
Thank you.
Howard has every answer.
I'm glad. I have my pen ready.
And if he doesn't, he'll just make it up. So.
Steven. Hi, good morning. My name is Steve Walter. I'm with Professional Benefit Administrators. We're right outside of Chicago. We're a third-party administrator for healthcare space. We administer for self-funded health plans for larger employers. And it's an interesting question, why are we here? This is my brother, by the way. We're second generation, and I've been working there since 28 years this November. We're celebrating our 30th anniversary this year, and we're in the process of a succession plan in the second generation. The process of earning, I mean, we've been there a long time, we know everybody, to earning respect, if you will, and learning how to better manage the company. I mean, it's an exciting time, it's a volatile time for us in the healthcare space. I think probably everybody in this room is aware of ACA and what's going on with healthcare. So it's very interesting. I am a former Ziegler. I started off in the life insurance business when I was 21 years old, trying to sell life insurance. It's a tough job at 21 years old, I'll tell you. And but I was introduced to Ziegler very early on, but I have fallen away from it, so I'm really looking forward to this succession.
Fantastic. Howard.
I want everybody to know that the only video that we're going to use is of our teaching. All of this will be cut out and not be published anywhere.
Totally kidding.
Yeah, I know, but in case anybody else is thinking about that, if there's any audience interaction that would like to include and you're recognizable, then we'll get a release from you and get your permission first. So don't worry about that. That's just so that we don't have to wait. People don't have to wait 6 months to come back to this to learn this stuff, so.
Well, you're also in the right place. Ziegler's a family business, obviously, with Dad founding it, and I'm working here. My sister Cindy, who you met, is my welcome people. She's here. My sister Julie, editor of 30 of Dad's books. And so the best place to work in the world is a family business, and the worst place to work in the world is a family business. All right? Yes. Holidays, vacations, you know, birthdays, they're all business sometimes, right? So there's a special, and Howard's son Christian is here, and Christian just started working with Howard's group, so.
He can't come out until he makes his sales call quota back there.
He's not kidding.
tuckered away back there.
Awesome. So, Jeff, why don't you add on to that since you guys are in the same boat?
So, just a little bit different take on that. We spent the first 22 years in business growing nonstop, unfettered, and then 2008-ish hit. And, you know, we've learned over the last 8 years how to scale the business. So at one point, we were up to about 210 employees, and, you know, the revenues were much higher than they are now. And so the last 8 years, we've been in this constant stabilizing, resizing, creating automation, cleaning things up. I am operations. I've always worked in the operations and systems side of things, and my brother is sales side. So as we work into this succession plan, how do we take, you know, our two focuses and make it work into the business? And I've been there for 25 years. So,
okay. Well, I've been working here 50 years.
Stuff on the road.
I'm 50. Come on, guys. Born into
it. He's telling you to update your
born
work history.
Born into it, yeah. So I get what you're saying. So we're glad you're here. Stefan, did I say that right?
Yeah, you might let him go first.
Oh, Nate.
I'm Nate Stokes. This is my son, Stefan. I own two non-medical in-home care agencies called Visiting Angels. They're started with one 7 years ago, acquired a second one about 3 years ago, about 80 miles apart. And the reason I'm here is some of the office stuff you guys have talked about, keeping productivity going in the office, but also I think even on the podcast I was listening to, they're talking, use the phrase, how to start working on your business and stop working in your business. And that really appeals to me. I feel as if the both of our businesses have grown tremendously over the last 7 years, but I feel as if we've plateaued. Matter of fact, my two businesses, 80 miles apart, have the exact same revenue, the same number of employees, and this isn't by design. It just seems to be phenomenal. So I'm ready to break out of that,
right,
beyond that plateau. And I also am interested in this turnkey idea because, quite frankly, I want more. I want to diversify, and I want to do lots more and open more businesses and provide opportunity for this young man to jump into that as well.
Okay, perfect.
Mm-hmm. I'm Stefan. I'm 21 years old, and that's a good portion as to why I'm here. I'm young, so why not learn early? I follow him, and every footstep that he takes, he calls me his assistant. I call it guinea pig.
I resemble that.
I hope to walk away with this with more of a business mind than I could even imagine have walking into it with. Zig Ziglar has so much knowledge come out of him when he talks that all I intend on doing is listening.
Okay, fantastic. Well, as you hear things, questions are going to pop up. If you want to ask a question, go for it, because I can guarantee you somebody else in the room has the same question.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, it's the perspective that you come in. So you can see you guys are in a good group of people, right? You're going to learn more potentially from each other than you will from us as you network and as you say, I had this problem, how did you do it, right? Because everybody's in a different phase and maybe a little bit different industry, but it's the same kind of challenges. It's how do you keep and how do you find good people and keep them engaged so that you can go out of town with something like this? And you don't even have to worry about checking email or text, or your phone doesn't go off, right? Because right now, a lot of times when your phone goes off, do you feel the panic in your heart? Right? Did they show up? Are we open? Okay. Yeah, hit a nerve there. So, in the first session, what I'm going to do is kind of paint a picture, a balance between the personal life and the business life. And then we're going to get into the five systems. Howard's going to be going through that later this morning. We're going to be doing one at a time, but it's going to be a fast 2 days. There's a lot of material to cover in the 2 days. And in fact, it's probably, if we just taught everything from start to finish, it's probably 8 hours a day for at least a month, would you say, Howard? It's crazy how much there is when you get into each thing.
We have 52 basic modules, so an hour a day for a year to get the platform.
And that's not counting questions and specifics and everything else. So I want to start off with this concept, and what I want you to do, I call it the why behind the why, or raising the stakes, is I want you to think about what is it that's driving you to be here? What's the why behind the why? What's the big dream? What's the cause? What's the reason? You shared with it some. You know, we want to systemize. We want to grow. We want to add stores. We can't believe we brought this store on and it's just sucking all the energy out of us. How do we fix that? But you bought that store for a reason. You have this vision in the future of your life of what you want it, where you want it to be, right? You dream, you know, you want to, maybe it's the lake house with the grandkids someday where they're just coming around, everything's just turnkey and smooth. What is that why? So I call it raising the stakes, which reminds me of a trip that I took up to Edmonton, Alberta. Now, Edmonton from here is about a 4-hour flight. Has anybody been on a long flight before? Yeah. So what's the first thing you do when you get off the plane at a long stretch? What else? Kiss the ground. Go to the restroom, right? So I get off this flight and I go to the restroom. So, you know, when you're traveling, you have your bags when you go to the restroom. I don't know about you, but I always set my bags down where I can see them because you're in a strange place. In this restroom and most, they have those big mirrors in front of you. And so I'm looking into the mirror, I'm washing my hands, I'm keeping my eye on the bag, and this man walks behind me, and he's going into the bathroom stall door right behind me, and his cell phone goes off, right? And did you know that people will answer their cell phone anywhere these days?
Make sure you flush the last
one. Yeah. So I'm looking in the mirror, and this guy's walking behind me, and his cell phone goes off. He reaches in his pocket and he opens the stall door at the same time and he does one of these motions. And when he does that, something kerplunks right into the toilet. So now I've got the stare, right? I'm looking at him and I'm going, oh my gosh, what's going on here? And this guy, he did this. He like looks in the toilet like this and he's staring at it. It's not his cell phone because he's still got it. I can see it. He's looking at it and he's looking at it. And then he does something weird. He reaches into his pocket. He pulls something out. He throws it in the toilet. He rolls his sleeve up. He reaches in. He grabs it all out. So now I'm just like mesmerized because I'm looking at him through the mirror. And I turn around. I tap people on the shoulder. And I'm like, dude, what was that? And he looks at me and he says, man, for 25 cents, no way I'm going in, but $1.50? He raised the stakes, right? He raised the stakes. And that's kind of a funny example. Let me tell you about my good friend Billy Cox. Billy's on our board. He's the one who took our Facebook page from 40,000 to over a million and a half. He did it in a very, he's got this ability. He owns his own business. He owns a lot of businesses, actually. He's got this Midas touch. Anything that he gets involved with does well. He's ADHD, and you know, when you ask him a question, you can just see the engine behind his eyes, and then the answer comes out, and it's things that I would never dream of, but it's just amazing. And he's go, go, go. You know, he's one of those type AAA personalities, you know, just. So his whole life, his family, his wife would say, Billy, slow down. You know, you don't exercise. You don't eat right. You don't get enough sleep. You know, your stress is too high. And he just kind of ignored all that. And then 13 years ago, his baby daughter was born. 2 days later, Billy's in the hospital with a bleeding ulcer. Almost died, blood transfusions, the whole nine yards. Doctor comes in, Billy, you almost died. Yes, sir. He goes, you do pretty well financially, don't you? Yeah. You could afford a trainer, you could afford a nutritionist, couldn't you? He said, oh, yes, I could. He said, Billy, let me ask you a question. Do you want to see your daughter, who's 2 days old, do you want to see her graduate from kindergarten? His life changed that day. Working out, eating right, getting enough sleep, all those things took on a new perspective because his why changed. Right? Because life was good, you know, he was making money, he was having fun, but his focus wasn't right. So as you look at what you want to do in your business and in your mission, whatever you're trying to accomplish, what's the why that's constantly pulling you towards it? Because a lot of what we talk about is fun, and some of it's work, and a lot of it's hard. It's simple, but it's hard, right? Because it takes discipline and dedication. So I want you to really be thinking about that why that's going to make it easy for you to remain diligent, to keep after it. What's the big picture? Where do you want to be in 5 years, 10 years from now? I mean, you've got a transition plan, a succession plan that you're working on. You know, what about the great-great-grandkids that aren't even here? I mean, what if the business could provide college education for generations to come? I mean, that's just an incredible why, and it helps you power through all that. Everything that we do at Ziegler, and I'm assuming, based on what you told me, that everybody here is familiar with Ziegler. Is that right? Is anybody here, this is your first experience, or people know? Okay. Everything that we do is based on this philosophy. You can have everything in life you want if you'll just help enough other people get what they want. So when we teach something, a business principle, a personal principle, that's where we're coming from. That's what we believe business should be about. This is the focus that we talk about. And Dad said this, you don't build a business, you build people. And then people build the business. Now you got to have systems. And isn't it cool if you had a system that would help you to build your people? Right? Because when we talk about turnover and leaving responsibility, so we've got to understand we want them to become the right kind of person. So how do we put in a system to help them become that right kind of a person? We estimate the Dad impacted 250 million people in his life. I mean, that's huge. How many of you are on the Ziegler Show podcast? We've had 25 million downloads of that. Just that one thing. Millions of books sold. So the Ziegler name and reputation and behind it really creates value wherever you go. A lot of times, it's like in your family, you know, right? You're like, Dad would tell me stuff, and I'd be like, oh yeah, that's good. And then I would go somewhere else, and somebody else would basically quote Dad, and I'm like, you're a genius. Right? Had to get a little older before I realized the genius was raising me. So what I'm saying is that when you bring in outside knowledge and information that has credibility, you may be saying the same thing every day, but your people hear it differently when it comes from someone else. And so my goal is that you take this manual and you learn and you go back and you use as much of it as you can with your team. Because when you teach it to somebody else, you learn more in the process. And they may see credibility because it's, you know, it's got color on the cover, right? And they hear it a little different. Here are some of the books that we did. And I just do this just to kind of give you a foundation. We have, now it's 3.7 million people on our Facebook page. It's just crazy. Why do you think people like the Ziegler Facebook page?
I would say more than likely it's they've had some sort of a book that they've read, an audio book, something of that nature, which impacts a lot of people, in my opinion, if they actually listen to him speak.
That's a big part of it.
I think it's because of the positiveness, because people are lacking in positive now. Our world is focused on the negative.
Yep.
And I have never seen anything negative come out of here.
That's 100% right on. People need hope and encouragement now more than ever. Your people need hope and encouragement now more than ever. If you want to inspire somebody to do something, give them hope. Right? When Dad, he had this way of starting his speeches. He would come out on stage, you know, and he would warm up and tell a few jokes. And then he'd say, let me ask you a question. So y'all follow along, okay? I want you to raise your hands on these. How many of you here today believe there's something you can do in your personal life, your family life, or your business life in the next 10 days that would make things worse? Can I see your hands? Yeah, that's an easy one. Okay, how many of you think there's something you can do in your personal, family, or business life in the next 10 days that would make things better? Can I see your hands? Here's the reality. Whether you realize it or not, in your own mind, you have told yourself you have the power to make things better or worse, and the choice is yours. So when we've got a team member that's struggling, when we've got a veteran who's struggling, we need to give them that hope that they can make little decisions today that'll make things better, right? Because people will not take action until they have hope. And so we need to connect somebody's, what they're doing that day, with the dream they have in their own life. And that what they do today, because dreams take time and money, don't they? So the better somebody does for you, what do you do when somebody does a great job? Do you promote them? Raise them? Get more responsibility? Guess what? If you don't, somebody else will. Isn't America awesome? So the better I do, the faster I get my dream. And that connection is missing a lot of times because too many businesses treat people like numbers and, you know, parts and everything else. A little bit about our family, since we got family businesses in here. Of course, there's Mom in the top right-hand corner up there. She's the redhead. She's the decided redhead, meaning one day she just decided. Dad also called her the happy hugger, right? Everybody, everywhere she goes, she hugs people. That's just who she is. In fact, Dad said this, if it's hugging, if it's moving, Mom will stop it and hug it. If it's not moving, she'll dust it off and sell it. There's the family picture. So that picture was taken probably about 6 months before Dad passed away. Top right hand is my daughter, Alexandra. To the left of Mom is my wife, Chachis. My daughter is going to be 21 in October, so same age. And then down at the bottom is the last, I believe that was the last public outing that we went to as a family before Dad's health just kind of declined. And the photographer came up and said, let's take a picture. And so we're all looking at the photographer except for one person. Who's Dad looking at? Mom. So here's the lesson. You can tell the quality of a man's heart by where his eyes are focused. See, that's the way I was raised. You can also tell the quality of a woman's heart by where her eyes are focused. It goes both ways. So in a family business, more than anything else, the leadership, man, that relationship that they have is the number one thing. It sets the tone for everything else. We all knew as a family that that was secure. Now, I also learned something else from Dad here, and that is that all the things that he talks about, you can't copy all of it. Like he called Mom the redhead. I started calling my wife the blackhead, and she didn't like it. Yeah, I don't know why. Okay, here's a picture. Here's a picture. That's me and my dad. I'm 12. And then that's my daughter and I. And so Dad believed that I should go to events, right? I was blessed. I got to sit at the foot of the stage and hear the best speakers, best trainers, CEOs, presidents of the United States have had the opportunity to shake their hand. I mean, I've been in rare air, right? I've been in the back of the green room with, you know, tycoons of industry, Fortune 10 CEOs and founders, all those kind of things, because Dad felt it was important for me to come. But I want you to look at his body language there. You notice that we're at an event. Somebody's speaking. I don't know who it is. But he's not doing this to me. Right? He's not doing it for me. He's doing it with me. And so whether it's our kids or our team members, we need to do things with them. People get so much more out of it. And so Dad had this principle that he taught about. He said, love is spelled T-I-M-E to a child. And so I learned that from him. So I got to take my daughter with me on events. That's what I learned. And so there is a picture. We were at Cambridge, they were having a conference, and they invited me to come and speak on Zig Ziglar's impact on small business. How cool is that? Howard got to go on that one too. So Howard spoke there. I mean, it was just an amazing event. So I want to tell you one story on the family side, and then we'll get into it, because this is just a great connection. So 4 years ago, we were in Australia. speaking for a gentleman named Steve McKnight. Steve is the number one real estate investor over there. He had me to do a keynote. There was about 1,000 people in the room, and then we had breakout sessions. So Howard, we were talking about the event, and Howard said, hey, you know, I'd love to come. And I, it's been a dream of mine to go to Australia. And I said, well, dude, if you're coming, you got to work too. So he comes with me, and we did these breakout sessions for business owners. So imagine a room just like this, except for we had 50 to 75 business owners in the room, and it was just kind of classroom style, everybody sitting in chairs. And my daughter, Alexandra, is in the back of the room. She's 17 at the time. So she's on the last row in the very back. Now, she's loving this trip, right? Because it's Australia. It's, you know, we're having fun. It's cool. But she's not exactly excited about sitting in a room full of business people watching Dad work. Now, nobody else would know, right? Because they don't know her. So she's back in the back. She's doodling. She's got her phone going and everything else. She's just having, you know, quiet time. So we get up. So Howard and I are at the front of the room, and Howard says, okay, today we want to cover your business challenges. We only have an hour. So what are four or five business challenges you're facing? Who's got the first one? And so the business owners would raise the hand, and they would say their challenge. Well, after the second one, Howard looks at me, and he says, Tom, we need somebody to write these challenges on the board. Otherwise, we're going to forget it. So then Howard goes, Alexandra, can you come up here and write these on the board? So my daughter does this. She gets up, she walks down the middle of the row. Now she's got 15 years of ballet by the, or no, 13 years of ballet by that time. She was 17. Perfect poise. She's got that stage, you know, face that you put on when you dance, right? So everybody in the room thinks that she's doing great. Meanwhile, she's looking at me. She walks up the aisle, and her eyes are shooting laser beams at me. My face is melting off. It's that daddy-daughter language, right? Because she's not happy. Now, my daughter's talented. She can spell and write clearly. So she gets up. She does a great job. It's only 2 or 3 minutes. She sits down. I don't think anything of it. At the break, she comes up. She says, Dad, don't ever do that again. You tell Howard not to invite me up. Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't know. So she walks off, and a business owner sitting right where you are comes over to me and starts talking to me. And then another business owner, then another business owner. Well, we had a 15-minute break, and then a new group of 75 business owners come in. We do the same thing. I forget to tell Howard. Howard starts off, Alexandra, can you come up here and write this on the board? Now my daughter gets up from the back row. She's walking down the aisle. She's giving me the stare. And it's nuclear warheads coming out of her eyes. Right? Nobody else knows that she's in this place, but I do. And I'm like, oh, I can't believe. She does a great job. She sits down. She comes up at the end of the break. Dad, you tell Howard. Don't ever let that happen again. I don't, you know, okay. As soon as she walks off, business owner walks up to me. We start talking. Then the next one comes up. Then the next one. We start the next session. Howard says, Alexandra. And it's like me in slow motion. I'm like, no. I'd forgotten again. We look at the back row. Alexandra's not there. We're like, where is she? She had moved. She was sitting on the second row on the end. She popped up, she wrote on the board, she sat back down, big smile. Here's what happened. During the breaks, these awesome Aussies had come up to her and they'd said, do you like traveling with your dad? Do you think you might go into the same business? Where are you going to go to school or university? Do you get to travel all over the world? What's your number one desire? I mean, do you want to do this business or a different kind of business? And so what had happened in that short amount of time is these other business owners, these adults, had seen more in my daughter than she saw in herself. She grew from a young lady or a young girl to a young lady in literally a 2-hour time frame. So for those of you who have kids in the business or family in the business, when you can set the right expectation and put them in the environment, they will surprise you in all the right ways. So that was just... Go ahead. Well, she was in an environment that was safe. She didn't know it was safe. She was out of her comfort zone. I knew it was a safe environment.
So, Tom, did you really forget, or you knew she needed to be
pushed? I forgot. This was an unintended happy ending, right? This was something, because I followed the principle of bringing her along, because love is spelled T-I-M-E. This situation occurred. Dad always said, you know, quality time with your kids is awesome, but that's not where life-changing moments happen. Life-changing moments happen in quantity time.
Can you do that with an employee?
Yes, you can. So if you're grooming somebody who's coming up, and you see some potential in them, and they don't see the potential in themselves, you can bring them with you on a sales call. You can bring them with them to a new business, and you can say, hey, I just want you to watch. Yeah, actually, Howard does that. It's expensive, though.
That's not bad. For what you get out of it.
I should say it's a wonderful investment. But absolutely, what you want to do is you want to follow the principle. Jose, I'll give you another story. First Ragnar. So the Ragnar, the race he was talking about, it's a 200-mile race. We run from Miami to Key West. Okay, I'm not a runner. Don't get excited. It's a relay race. I didn't run the whole 200 miles. I ran like four. But that's another story. So what you do is you take turns and you relay. So I had my section, right? I have my leg of the race. And in this one, we had a couple of wounded warriors. I walked with one of them, amputee, for about the first half a mile. And then I had about a 2.5-mile leg to get to the end. I think that's about right. It was right before 7-mile bridge. And it's the middle of the day. Remember this? You remember, because it was noon. We hit 7-mile bridge at noon, which you don't want to do because it's the hottest time of the day. There is no support on 7-mile bridge. So I'm jogging and I'm doing good, but I'm not a runner. And I look up ahead and I know where we're going because we've been around this road before, and there's a curve in the road and there's mangoes here and then there's the water here. And I know when I come around the bend, the whole team is going to be up there at the checkpoint, the handoff. Right? And so I've got about a quarter of a mile where I can walk and nobody will see me. Right? I'm already planning. I'm gonna finish strong, right? I'm gonna come across that line strong and I'm gonna plan my laziness, you know, my lack of discipline, so they don't see me. So Jose, Command Sergeant Major Jose Garcia Ponte. He's got the next leg, 7 miles across the bridge. He's looking at his watch. He's like, where's Ziegler? So he jogs down to meet me. And just as I'm about to start breaking into a walk, he comes around the mangoes. And then he pulls up next to me and he starts jogging beside me. How's it going, Ziegler? Maybe you call me boss. How's it going, boss? I'm like, oh, it's great. It's fantastic. Well, there is no way in the world that I'm going to take a walk, right? Because my leader is next to me, encouraging me, pushing me further than I thought I could go. So I finished it. He came back a mile to get me, jogged back that mile, and then ran 7 miles over the bridge for his leg. So he went 2 extra miles to show what a leader does, right? That's the with you. And you almost, you hallucinated on that run, didn't you? Because lack of, you know, no support, so you have to carry on water and everything else, and you run out of it when you're dehydrated. So I just wanted to share that. That's the principle. That's how you can show it to a teammate. So if you've got a shop and they've got to clean up earlier at the end of the day, you know, the leader just comes in and starts pushing the broom with them. Hey, what's going on? I mean, this is what we're talking about when it comes to leadership. I use this statistically. This is a great little piece. Gallup did a study of what they call, I call it zombies, but they call it disengaged. The technical term is a disengaged workforce. Have you ever heard that? The positive is engagement. What percentage of the workforce is engaged? Engaged means you get there early, you stay late, you volunteer, you do a little bit extra. When somebody says, I need help, they volunteer. Disengaged is they get there 1 minute before they're supposed to. They leave right on the dot. don't ask me any questions at meetings. They never volunteer an answer. In the United States, 70% of the workforce is disengaged. That's crazy, isn't it? 70% are disengaged. Well, that's what we're going to talk about. 70% don't care. 70%, this isn't the job they chose. $8 an hour. Everybody went to school so they could get an $8 an hour job, didn't they? No. Right? They have to take this job. Right? They went to school for this, no availability, so now they're starting over here. So instead of viewing it as the springboard to the next opportunity, they view it as a sentence to be served. Am I right? Did y'all see this? Engaged companies outperform disengaged companies in an incredible way. Just profit-wise, quality incidents, everything. So how do we get an engaged workforce? That was the question you asked. So this little illustration says in a typical business in the U.S., we got three employees peddling like crazy. Then you got five that are disengaged. That means that their feet are on the pedals, but they're not pushing. Right? You ever been on one of those quad bikes where you got four seats and everybody in the family pedals and then one stops and another stops and then somebody's like, hey, what's going on? It just got heavy, right? There's two that we call actively disengaged. This is the team member, the employee that says, when the leader says, this is what we're going to do, they're in the back of the room and they whisper, that'll never work. Right? Have you ever seen that happen? Y'all go first. Once you prove it out, then I'll join you, right? It's the kiss of death. So what do we do? How do we get them engaged? If you have team members, how do you get them engaged? So we do a whole session on this that we're not covering, but here's the answer. A leader who cares is the difference. You've heard the quote, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You've heard that? That's not a Zig Ziglar quote. But Dad added those last two words about them. So when you have somebody on your team and you care about them, what it means is, hey, what are you doing for Christmas break? Tell me about your kids. How's eighth grade going for Johnny? Right? And here's the big one. What's your dream? Where do you want to be in 5 years? When at the every level, the people that work with you and for you know that you care about their dream, everything changes. Chick-fil-A. Anybody here eating at Chick-fil-A? We like Chick-fil-A. They do this cool thing. You know, if you put in enough hours, you get scholarship money, right? They give you money towards your college education. Pretty clever, isn't it? With that one little thing, they now attract kids who have a goal to go to college versus the competition. Isn't that interesting? And then those managers, Chick-fil-A, when they hire... When the Chick-fil-A, Dan Cathy was here a couple of years ago in this room. We did a big webcast with him. And somebody said, well, tell us about what does it take to get a Chick-fil-A franchise? 20,000 applications, qualified applications, come in their door every year. On average, they open up and they have availability for 70 to 90 spots. How would you like to have 20,000 qualified applications to pick 90 people? 45, 50 new stores, 45 or so stores that have turnover, right? People are retiring. So the question was, well, how do you make the final decision? So here's what they do. Here's what they look for. They look for a track record of success. They don't care if they have any food industry experience. They don't care. They just want to see, does this store operator, do they have a track record of success? And number two, this is the one that got me. When they weed them all down, when they get the last couple of hundred, you know, they've gone through, these are the crim, you know, the pick of the litter, these are the top. They get the family members around, they get the executive leadership around the table, not many of them. And they hold up this application and they say, this is Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, they want to run this store. Here's the question, the defining question they ask. for this operator, this owner. Each person goes around the room and they have to say yes. And here's the answer. Here's the question. Would you send your 15 or 16-year-old son or daughter to go work for them? Pretty simple, isn't it? So what we do when somebody comes to work for us, we figure out what their dream is, and then we show them how they can get their dream. We make a connection between what they do every day to their dream. Because the better they do, the more you pay them, the faster they get their dream. Now people come to work working for a dream and not a paycheck. What if your place became the place where dreams came true? Would it be hard to recruit good people? Everybody says, hey, you know what? Let's go work there. That's where dreams come true. And if they go work somewhere else, if they go start their own home health care system somewhere else, in another market. Great for you, great for them. Maybe you can partner. Maybe that's the best way to grow, okay? So I'm in Australia about 6 weeks ago, and this guy in the back of the room, because I'd ask and give people a chance to answer, ask questions, he says, Tom, what's the fastest way to success? Did you know that in my 50 years of experience working here, nobody's ever asked that question to me before? It's always, hey, what do I need to do to be more successful? What are three things I could do that would have an impact on my success? What have you found to be successful? Well, this guy asked the ultimate question. What's the fastest way to success? So this answer popped out of my mouth. The fastest way to success is to replace bad habits with good habits. So at the break, and after the break, Steve McKnight, who was hosting this, went back to work with him again. He gets up and in front of the room, he says, did you hear what Tom said? He said, the fastest way to success is to replace bad habits with good habits. And I'm like, that sounds pretty good. Did I say that? I didn't even know I'd said it. So I wrote it down and I Googled it, right? Because that's too good of a quote. I had to be like channeling somebody else. I just, you know. So I Google it. Nobody has that quote. So I immediately did that graphic, put it out on Facebook, put it out there because I wanted to have, you know, own that quote. And then for the next 3 weeks while I was traveling around Australia and Papua New Guinea and coming back here, I tried to poke holes in that quote, and I couldn't. For example, let's say a bad habit you have is drinking soft drinks. If you replace that with a good habit like drinking water, what's your life going to look like in a year? Or your bad habit is you have everything that you do in your business in your head. And now you replace that with the good habit of every week taking one of those things out of your head and putting it into a paper system, an online system. It can go physical, mental, spiritual, family, financial, career, doesn't matter. Whatever wheel of life, whatever spoke on the wheel, you do this and it will change everything. So be thinking of the bad habits you're going to stop and the good habits you're going to replace it with. You just do one a week, like put a new one in every week, replace a bad one with a new one every week. In 52 weeks, imagine the difference in your life. Simple, not easy. If we're going to go somewhere, we better make sure we're pedaling in the right direction, right? Because we're pedaling like crazy just to stay above water. So now we're going to get into the system, the idea. So if you would, page one, this right here, this is found in the book, See at the Top. This is Dad's legendary program, The Stairway to Success, The Stairway to the Top. Basically what it says is you got to build your foundation on the foundation stones of faith, love, loyalty, character, honesty, and integrity. Then you've got to take these steps in your personal life and professional life in order to go up to the top, which is, you know, what everybody wants. They want to be happy, healthy, right? So you got to work on these areas. And then we have this handrail over here that says the free enterprise system. We're huge believers in free enterprise. That's why I love working with business owners, because you take this information back and you grow your business with it. You teach it to your people, you use it, and the message gets spread. So the elevator is out of order. There is no free ticket to the top. Right? We got to take the stairs. It takes some effort. So now what you're about to hear is a system, an illustration, a way that I put together that explains this in a new way. So if you will follow along. So this section was based on Dad's quote, "You are born to win, but in order to be the winner you were born to be, you must plan to win, prepare to win, and then and only then can you expect to win." Plan, prepare, and expect. There's a sequence there. Too many kids today, they expect to win without planning or preparing, right? Hey, you know what? Make me the boss. I'll show you. Without any proof that they have what it takes beforehand. No planning, no preparation. But you've got to understand what winning is if we're going to shoot for it. So what is winning? Does Charlie Sheen know what winning is?
Just Tiger Woods.
Yeah. The culture has all these definitions of winning, right? It's money, it's fame, it's all this. So we've spent the last 50 years here, and Dad's whole life was dedicated to understanding what winning is. And here's what he discovered, that there's 8 things in life that everybody wants. You cannot be winning unless you have these 8 things. Let me share those with you. Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to be healthy. Everybody wants to be prosperous. Right? Dad's got some great quotes on money. Money's not the most important thing, but it is reasonably close to oxygen. Right?
Sorry,
it's reasonably close to oxygen. It's not the most important thing, but it is reasonably close to oxygen.
Money can't buy everything, but can buy something.
Yeah, that's right. There's a couple other ones. People say money won't make you happy, but everybody wants to find out for themselves. My favorite... Yeah, that's right. My favorite Zig quote on this is he says, this is great. He says, "I've had problems when I've had money. I've had problems when I haven't had money. Overall, if you're going to have problems, it's better to have money." Right? Just can't make it our God. Everybody wants to be secure, have friends, peace of mind, good family relationships, and hope in the future. These are the 8 things that everybody wants. So as a business owner, as a leader, as a mom, as a dad, as somebody who's mentoring the community, you know, working with different groups, this is what everybody wants. Now, how do we know this? Just look at that list. Imagine you had 7 but not all 8. Would you consider your life successful? It wouldn't be the same, right? If you had all of them but money, you couldn't accomplish what you wanted. If you went to bed every night hopeless, what's the point? No family? I mean, come on. Life is more important than that. So the challenge is we've got to set our goals around getting the 8 things that everybody wants, right? Too often our goal is money, right? Or our goal is the new business or grow by 20%. The reality is our goal should be about achieving these 8 things. Everything else will come as a byproduct of that. So in our life, whenever you set a goal, there are 7 areas in your life where that goal happens. So here are the 7 areas. Any goal that you set will fall into one of these areas. Next page. Physical, mental, spiritual, family, career, financial, and personal. No matter what goal you set, it's going to fall into one of these areas. I mean, think about the goals that you've had in your life. It's going to fall into one of those areas. And so we've got to be balanced and successful in each one of those areas, right? Because if everything's going good, but, you know, our physical life is in shambles, then we don't have the energy, the stamina, we don't have those things. So people ask, they say, okay, I know that those are all areas of life, but where should I focus? So at Ziegler, we say this. You need to focus on these 3 areas every single day. The physical, the mental, and the spiritual. We say these are the most important. Let me explain why. Have you all figured out that life is hard? It is, isn't it?
Sure.
Have any been like going down the road of life, minding your own business, and the Mack truck of life like knocks you down? right? You lose somebody you love, you get sick, the business you thought was going to go great fails. And isn't it funny how that Mack truck, once it knocks you down, it kind of does the, and then it backs back over you, right? Life is that way, right? It's over and over. So physically, we know this. If we're in good shape, right, if we get enough sleep, if we have enough exercise, we're getting balanced nutrition, we're not carrying too much stress, we're working out, we're exercising, we've got our energy up, and life gets hard, because it will. There's always the seasonal thing. If we've got all that going for us, then we have more energy and stamina to deal when life throws the curveball. If we're not in good physical shape, we get worn out quickly. Now, it's never our goal to work, you know, 15 hours a day, 6 days a week, right? That's what you're going through right now. But there are seasons when that's reality, especially if you're a business owner. If a challenge pops up or you open a new store or you're growing or whatever, so you've got to make sure that you're physically able to do that. And then mentally, have you figured out you don't have to look for bad news? It just finds you, doesn't it? It'll find you at the line at Starbucks. It's even found me in the church parking lot. Walking into church, bad news will walk right up and dump it in your lap. So we know that every day, whether we turn on the radio, the TV, we're on a customer call and somebody comes over the radio and you know what, bad news is coming. So in order to counteract that, we've got to put in the clean, the pure, the powerful, and the positive every day. Now this is one of the things that I work with and what I talk with the Wounded Warriors on is because PTSD is such a hard thing, right? I mean, because your chemistry has changed and you've been through horrifying things and you know, it's a real issue and you've got, you know, you need counseling, you need all those things. This is not a replace of, this is an addition to. Here's the reality. Has anybody here ever been in a bicycle wreck or a running accident where you fall and you get road rash all over you, right? And so what you do when that happens is you just get up and you put a Band-Aid over it and you go on, right? No, you don't do that. You clean that sucker out, right? You wash it out. You get all the pebbles and the dirt out of there. And then you put ointment on it every day, right? You got to clean that out. Well, life is tough, and we're constantly getting negative images, right? We're getting negative information. We've got to look at putting the good, the clean, the pure, the powerful, and the positive into our mind as like a salt, a solution, right? A purification process. So the more positive input that we can put in, it starts literally purifying and washing away the old tapes that we have, the old imaging, right? If we're going to become the person we want to be, we've got to get rid of the person we don't want to be. And the only way to do that is to replace the messaging. Dad's quote, you are what you are and where you are because of what's gone into your mind. And you can change what you are and you can change where you are by changing what goes into your mind. That is so true. Everybody needs to do this because we all get absorbed with it. People who've been through more trials and tribulations, they need this more than ever. Constant, constant right input. And then, of course, there's the spiritual. Here's what I've learned in my life. I have no idea what's happening tomorrow. None, zero, right? I don't know why bad things happen. I can't understand it. I lost a niece, a great niece, to cancer. Diagnosed with brain cancer when she was 2 and fought a 2-year battle. I mean, it's just, you don't understand it. But here's what I know, is I have a relationship with the one who does understand it. So if I work on that relationship, if I have that kind of relationship, that changes everything. I don't have to worry or feel hopeless because I don't understand, because I have a relationship with the one who does. But here's the biggest reason you work on these three areas every day. Does anybody have somebody you love? Does anybody here love somebody? The married people in here, this is a good time to raise your hand. Do they ever go through hard times?
Yes.
They do, don't they? Isn't the greatest thing what we're really called to as humans, as people, to reach out and carry the burden of someone we love who's going through a hard time? When they're worn down. If we don't have the physical, mental, and spiritual stamina to give extra, how can we help them? So this is why we do it. Now, when you do all these things, you got to do them. You got to build those areas with character. Unless you build it with character, it doesn't matter. right? If you go out there to have an awesome career and you leave character out of the equation, you may become successful quickly from the eyes of the world, but you will lose it. Just read the headlines, whether it's business, politics, media, you know, entertainment, the character people that don't have character, they may have it for a while, but then they're gone. So we got to work through character in all seven areas of our life. And when we do that, it helps us to create a vision for where we want to go. And the vision is those eight things. That's what we're trying to achieve. Right? We've changed our compass a little bit. Now, I like the word vision, but I like the word dream even better. And I've got this nerdy quote. Dreams are the edges of the puzzle of your life. Your dreams are the edges of the puzzle of your life. So what does that mean? Has anybody here ever done a tabletop puzzle? Where do you start? On the edges. So like I said, I'm a nerd, so I'm a connector. I connect things that don't connect right. So I'm reading this book. It's called True Freedom by Stephen Fry. And in that book, there's a little story about these behavioral psychologists. And they went out to this elementary school. And the elementary school had just opened up. Everything was complete except for one thing. It didn't have a fence around the playground. Right? So the behavioral psychologists, they sat outside at recess to see what the kids would do when they go outside. Right? So you know how they build the playgrounds at schools. You walk outside and there's a blacktop or concrete so that when it's raining or it has been raining, the kids don't get muddy, but they can still get outside and get some exercise. And usually the playground equipment is pretty close by. Right? And so when the kids went out to recess, they had all this field, right, where they could play catch and football and everything, but there's no fence around it. So all the kids stayed on the blacktop. They stayed on the concrete, or they stayed right next to the teachers. Every day, every recess, same thing. Over the weekend, they put the fence up. Went out to recess the first morning, the kids used the whole space. That border, that fence, gave them the security to say, this is my territory. This is where I can go in safety. This was meant for me. Your life is the same way. When you don't have dreams written down, you don't have an edge. You see, the playground, you're the playground equipment, right? Your personality, your gifts, the experiences you've had, everything that you've taken in, you're the playground equipment. It's so much fun to stay on the playground equipment, right? It's safe, it's secure. If you don't have a dream, you never leave that little area. But as soon as you have a dream that says, I'm going to open 5 locations, right? I'm going to start a brand new business. I'm going to go overseas for 2 months and everything's going to run perfect while I'm gone, right? As soon as you have that dream, your brain's amazing. You fall asleep at night and it starts putting the puzzle pieces from where you are to where you want to go. Because when you have that dream, it says, oh, you know what, I got to systemize this process. And then I've got to train and develop somebody to run that process. And then when a customer comes in with a challenge, everybody on the team knows that this is where you get the answer to the challenge. And then here's the philosophy, the mission statement of how we handle that challenge. Right? When everybody knows that, you could go out of town. Right? But until you put that dream out of there, a 2-month vacation around the world, then you don't take action, your brain doesn't start filling in the pieces. Dreams can be like getting out of debt, having a second home, supporting a nonprofit. How about starting a nonprofit? As soon as you have that, everything changes. And then you've got to add this missing ingredient. It's called PC. How many of you think that PC stands for politically correct? No, not around Ziegler. We're not very politically correct, right? We've already stepped into faith. Woo! Right? PC. So I'm with Dad, and I said, Dad, I was in the office right behind Howard, and Dad and I were working on the book, Born to Win. Dad comes in, and I said, Dad, so this is like 2011. I say, Dad, I know that honesty and integrity is your number one reason for success. What's number two? He says PC. Now, I've heard him say this like 100 times, but now I'm listening. Have you noticed the older you get, the worse you're hearing, but the better you listen? It's kind of weird, isn't it? So I'm like, Dad, tell me what persistent consistency means. Tell me what PC means. PC stands for persistent consistency. He says, son, it's easy. Whenever you have a goal or worthy objective, you are consistent in it. You work on it every day or as often as necessary until you achieve it. And then he said, you got to be persistent about it. And for him, what that meant is when you work on it every day, you up your game a little bit. So if you're selling software sales to the oil and gas industry, and in order to hit your quota, you have to make 30 calls a day, consistency would be making the calls every single day, 30, 30, 30, 30. Persistency would be day one, you make the calls. Day two, you ask a new question on the call. Day three, you do a different introduction on the call. Day four, you change the framework of the call just a little bit. You're constantly testing to see if you can get a better result by doing it just a micro difference. So we were on a plane flying out to Las Vegas with Dad. This is the greatest example. Now, Dad had this routine when he flew. He'd get on the plane. He'd get his manila folder out. He'd put it right in his seat. He'd tell the flight attendant, I'm about to take a nap. Don't wake me up. Seat belt is buckled. I don't need anything to drink. Dad would fall asleep at the gate. Everybody's boarding. Dad's there. He's gone. Plane taxis, he's sound asleep. Plane takes off, he's sound asleep. The wheels fold up in the plane. Have you ever heard that noise? Neek. Dad wakes up, wipes his eyes, puts his tray table down, pulls that manila folder out and starts working. I'm like, I knew what he was doing, but I had to ask. Dad, what are you doing? Oh, I'm working on my speech for tomorrow. I said, really? You've given that speech 3,000 times. Why? He said, son, it's easy. He said, this will be the first time some people in that room have ever heard me. I've got to be the best I've ever been in my life. That's consistency. And then he goes, son, there's something else. He said, I was talking to the executives, the CEO, the sales manager, the VP of marketing. They're going to have 500 of their top salespeople at this conference. They shared with me their goals for this year, some of their key phrases, some challenges they're facing with the competition. And he said, and then I was reading in the Wall Street Journal about that industry, and I know what they're facing. If I can just weave in two or three of those thoughts into this presentation, then I know that everybody in the room will know that Zig Ziglar took time to make this presentation about them and not about him. And maybe, just maybe, one person in that room will realize that, and they will take action on a truth that I share with them that will ultimately change their life. That's persistency. What if every sales call, every customer, every new employee, every person that you dealt with, that's all you did? Persistent consistency. It changes everything. So isn't Zig Ziglar's keys to success 1 and 2 pretty simple? Character and attitude, or I'm sorry, character and integrity, number one. Persistent consistency, number two. We look at this, and we realize that there's also another side of the business, right? This is all about the personal side. Now we're making the transition to business. There's just like there's 7 key areas in your personal life, there are 5 areas in a business. Every business has these. Marketing, sales, operations, administration, and leadership. Marketing is simply how you bring prospects to your business. Sales is how you convert those prospects into customers. Operations is how you serve and support those customers. Administration, the systems, the processes, the techniques, the financials, everything that you need to make it run smoothly. And leadership is you. If you're the owner, if you're the boss, you're the leader, right? That's what it's all about. So looking at this, I ask you, what kind of business are you in? When people ask me, what does Ziglar do? I say, we're in the transportation business. We help people get from where they are to where they want to go. Did y'all know that everybody in here is in the same business? Isn't that cool? There's a need, a problem, a challenge that they have. They don't like it. Plumbing's out. That's a problem, isn't it? People don't like that. You're going to help them solve that. You're in the transportation, taking them from where they already want to. Now, how many of you use GPS to get here? Okay. GPS works this way. It's real simple. You type in the address of where you want to go. Your phone is hooked up, right? If it's hooked up, then the satellite can read where your phone is. Because until you know where you are, you can't get a map to where you want to go. Make sense? If your phone is not connected and you put in the address, it can't give you a map. And so what we've done is we've created an assessment to help you understand where you are in your life. And so on this picture, you will see that each one of these spokes, we've put a scale from 1 to 10. And you can quickly rate yourself, and in fact, you will be going through the business assessments later through the program, where you're going to rate where your current business is right now. Because we have about 10 questions for each one of these. Just to give you an example, on physical, how good a physical shape are you in? A 10 is in great shape, a 1 is like, you need improvement, right? So we ask questions like, do you work out? Do you weigh about the right amount of weight? Do you have any medications you have to take? Are you under a lot of stress, right? Those are physical questions. Well, if you give yourself high marks on all of those, let's say you're a 9 or a 10 on each one of those, then you're going to be in a physical condition of a 9 because you add them up and you divide. If you get low marks, that's something you need to work on. Marketing for your own business. How are you doing? We have questions for each one of those. Here's an example of a typical small business owner that filled this out. So let me ask you this. If those were just kind of going down the road, how smooth would it be? Right? So in order to get to where we want to go, we got to know where we are. So we're going to be going through that. Now the goal is what we want to do is we want to make everything as round, as smooth as possible. But why do we want to do that? Well, we're going back to our why again. This is Howard's quote. It's in the book, Born to Win. I called him in 2011, and I said, Howard, I need this anchor quote that connects the business and the personal side, right? Have y'all noticed that if your personal life is doing bad, that you take it to work? Have y'all ever noticed that? Your people the same? Or if your business is doing bad, do you take that home? Right? So we got to have balance. So you got to understand this. Your business exists for one reason and one reason only, as a vehicle to help you achieve your life goals. Going back to the playground illustration with your dream, the reason your business exists is it's a vehicle to help you achieve that dream. That's it. Great grandkids, college education. That's why your business exists, if that's your dream. So now we're working, and we've got to understand that our vision, you see how the vision is now connected to the business and the personal? It's all together. If we're going to be successful, we've got to be successful in all areas of life. Too many people trade their personal families, relationships, their physical health, all of those things. They trade that for a successful business. And guess what? When you get that successful business, can you buy back the other stuff? You can't. So our vision connects everything. So now our goal is to make them all tens. Right? Probably impossible, but we can get close. We can keep working at it. Now, does that look like a scooter to you? Have you ever been on a scooter? Scooters are fun as long as it's downhill, right? Otherwise, it's too much work. So what we need is a little bit something more substantial. What we need is a bike. So if we're going to have a meaningful journey, we've got to get on a bike, something that can help us get there. And I want you to see how character suddenly became the seat of this bike. Character is the moral or ethical filter through which you make your decisions. So I want you to imagine you're going down the road of life on your bike, right? You're sitting on the seat of character. The more character you have, the more cushioned the seat. So see, this is what happens. We're going down the road of life, and then a bump is in the road. And that bump is a moral or ethical decision we got to make. When we have a lot of character, we make the right decision, and we roll over that bump, and because we have a cushioned seat, everything's good. But if we don't have character, if we don't have integrity, and that bump in the road comes along, we hit that bump at full speed, sitting on a seat post. And then a Lance Armstrong happens. Right? It's painful. So we've got to focus on our character. But there's a challenge. It's not hooked up yet, right? So we got to hook up the PC to the bike. Remember persistent consistency? So one of our team members, Michael McGowan, he says, Tom, PC is not persistent consistency. It stands for pedal like crazy. Right? We got to pedal like crazy. So now we're pedaling like crazy, but there's a challenge. It's still not hooked up. What are we missing? We're missing a chain. Goals are the links in the chain that connect activity to accomplishment. Goals are the links in the chain that connect activity to accomplishment. So here's how it works. How many of you have a website? Okay. When people visit your website, do you have an opt-in? An opt-in is simply something that you offer for free, like a white paper on why your program's the best or how to pick the right plumbing company or whatever it is, and they trade you that for an email address, like in home elder care, right? In home elder care, what are the five things that I need to know about picking the right company to take care of my loved one? So they come there and you offer this free report and you have statistics to back it up. You know, the industry says stuff, you write it in your own. And when they get it for free, the only way they get it is they give you their email address because you're going to email it to them. Now you have the ability to follow up with them. So let's say you own your own business. You don't know anything about websites and you don't have an opt-in. It's easy. You just set a goal. I'm going to add an opt-in to my website, and I'm going to do that by calling somebody who knows how to do that on my website. So you set a goal, you initiate it, you put your foot on the pedal of persistent consistency, and as the bike moves forward, because you're making this goal happen, the spoke on the marketing wheel might go from a 3 to a 4. The bigger the wheel, the rounder the wheel, the faster and the smoother the ride. So that's how goals work. But then there's another challenge here. Who wants a 1-speed bike? Whoops, there's the goals quote. Goals are the links in the chain. I love that. What this means is that you're sitting on the seat of character and you're seeing the 8 things in life that you want. You see the vision there, how it's consistent, how we want to go there. And then we add the gears. Who wants a 1-speed bike when you can have a 21-speed bike? So what's a gear? Today is a gear. A gear is simply outside knowledge or information that helps you go to the next level. That's what a gear is. Ziegler is in the gear business. That's what we do. Now, you can get gears in all kinds of fashion. You can buy a book. That's a gear. You can attend a program like this. You can get a coach, a mentor. You can listen to the podcast. You can, you know, audio programs. These are all gears. Here's why gears are important. Did y'all notice, were y'all around when that economic thing happened in 2008, 2009? Did business get tougher all of a sudden? Some people it did, some people it didn't. Here's what we noticed, because we work with thousands of businesses. There were some businesses that were doing great before it happened, and continued to do well even in the middle of it. And then there were others that went out of business. The difference is the first group understood the principles of gears. You see, when business is great, when everything's rocking, the tendency is to coast. So you're pedaling the bike, and instead of putting it in high gear and getting 2 or 3 times the distance out of every stroke, we coast. And then when the mountain of the economy shows up, we don't have any momentum, and the bike tips over. companies that understand gears, what they do is they say, man, things are great. We're going to start innovating. We're going to start trying new things. We're going to go after new markets. We're going to launch new products. We're going to systematize our business. We're going to work on saving some money over here. They're putting new gears in because they know that the faster they go, they've got momentum. So the economy pops up, and they can take that bike, and the momentum of the bike will carry it halfway up the economy hill. And then because they understand gears, they quickly gear down to a low gear and say, things have changed. We got to do this better. We can't do that right now. We got to focus on this. They're sweating like crazy. They're pumping like crazy, right? But because they're in low gear and you can ride a bike up a steep hill in low gear, they don't tip over. They keep going. So gears are an incredibly important piece of this puzzle. What are you doing when times are good in your gears? And what are you doing in tough times in your gears? Outside knowledge or information is that key. And then people all the time, they ask, they say, how come Zig Ziglar's bike is so much faster? What was his secret? Yeah. So Dad's bike was supercharged. He put God in the center of that hub. So the quick story on Dad, they was born in Lower Alabama, moved to Yazoo City, and his father died when he was 5. Raised by a single mom, right? Dad was the 10th of 12 kids. His mom had a 5th grade education. Heart of the Depression, Mississippi, maybe the poorest state in the country. Went to school, didn't do well in school. In fact, Dad was in the part of the class that made the top half possible. Right? Gets out of school. He actually went and took night school so he could get out early so he could join the Navy in World War II. Didn't see service time. I mean, he didn't see combat because he got into the tail end, but he was able to serve in the V5 program for a while. They gave him some college. He didn't do well in college either. Didn't he struggle? He gets out of college. He gets into sales, and for 2.5 years in sales, he doesn't sell anything. Well, he did. He sold his house, sold his car, sold his furniture, right? You know what I'm talking about? He goes to an event, and the leader of that event was there and was speaking, and Dad really admired this guy. In fact, his picture's on the wall out there. His name is P.C. Merrill. And P.C. Merrill came to Dad at the break, put his hand on his shoulders and said, Zig, in all my life, I've never seen such a waste. But if you believed in yourself and went to work on a regular schedule, you could be a champion. So Dad had never had anybody in authority like that speak into him and say, you can be a champion. And so that day he made the decision to understood what it meant to believe in himself. And that day he made the decision that he was going to be knocking on a door at 9 a.m. every day. So my sister Julie said, PC, does that stand for PC Merrill? Persistent consistency, pedal like crazy, PC Merrill. Dad learned persistent consistency from PC Merrill. So now he becomes a superstar. At the end of that year, he finished number 2 out of 7,000 salespeople. In the previous 2.5 years, he'd never been in the top 5,000. Now he's the golden child. Everybody wants to hire him. They recruit him away. He does like 13 different companies in 10 or 12 years. He went broke several times, made and lost money over and over again because he was buying into the greener grass. 1972 is when faith came into his life, when he accepted Christ as his Savior. He was broken in debt when that happened. And so from that day forward, he made the decision that every decision that he was going to make was going to go through that filter. I share that always because people want to know. Right? If we're going to learn from successful people, we need to know what they say is the reason for their success. Now, here's the cool thing. If you do all these things, right? If you work in these areas, character and integrity, you have a vision, a dream, you're going for those 8 things in life, you realize that things have got to be good on both sides, then your bike starts to look like this. Starts to have some fun. Do we have any questions on this section here? I usually tell them, I'm going to do something mean right now, okay? When you close your eyes tonight, this picture is going to be like tattooed on the back of your eyelids. Because it's so powerful, you can go a week from now, 6 months from now, a year from now, and in your spirit you'll say something's wrong. You know, something's not clicking. If you pull this illustration of the bike up and you say which part is out of alignment, which spoke is having a challenge, it'll tell you where to go. Because this covers everything. Any questions on this? Howard, do we want to have them do the... do we do the assessment here? Do we want to give people some time to do this assessment, or do we want to go straight to break?
The wheel...
Because I know we're doing the business wheel later.
Yeah, it's totally up to you.
Okay. I tell you what... if you turn to page 6, I'm going to give you the instructions. And I would like for you to do this during the break or afterwards during free time. We got so much to cover. Here's how it works. As you go down the questions, like we'll look at a physical, you just do a scale of 1 to 10 on yourself. 10 is great, 1, oh boy, right? And then you add them all up, and you divide by 10, because each one has 10 questions. And then that'll give you an average. It could be, you know, a 6.8 or whatever. You do that for each area. There's 7 areas. And then go over to the wheel and plot it. See the wheel right there? You can plot it on there, connect the dots, and see how smooth your wheel is. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a 15-minute break. We have stuff in the break room. Everybody probably needs to take a little restroom break. Do this, and we're going to come back at 10:30 on that clock. Sound good? And then Howard the man, will be taking over. That's right. All right, thanks, guys.